Rather than viewing mining solely as a rewards-based system that aims to return more economic value than the cost of energy consumed, it can instead be recognized as a new tool for electrically powered heating infrastructure, which economically subsidizes one of the largest sectors of global energy consumption. Bitcoin miner exhaust heat is a product, not a problem. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And I am a heat punk. This is actually a really, really great read. I'm super happy that Tyler Stevens put this together. And even though I'm crazy busy and have very limited time, I have just gotten Rad down for a nap. And the baby girl is also tucked away doing her thing. So I have a minute. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to record. I'm going to try to finish this whole episode and maybe even squeeze in a guy's take. But for the next couple of weeks, it's probably until after BitBlock Boom, we'll still be seeing a lot of reboots, just so you know. But I'm going to try to make sure that I keep getting episodes out, because I personally hate it when I have a show that I listen to regularly and suddenly there's big gaps. And there really is a ton of stuff that I can dig up that a lot of people have not heard, and that is relevant all over again, because we've gone through a whole cycle and a half now, and nothing is new. Same old FUD, same old everything. A real quick thank you to Blockstream for supporting this show, and of course for the Jade Plus hardware wallet. I have two videos, one breaking down the setup and one unboxing, if you want to check those out on my YouTube or Rumble page. And my favorite setup with the Jade Plus is Bluetooth with the green wallet on mobile. It really is just the best between your keys not being on the phone and being secure, and also just being really, really easy to use, because the wallet and the Jade Plus just kind of talk together as if it's one app, and you just go back, you just hit sign and you just hit broadcast. It's just a really nice UX. And speaking of great design and user experience, for a mobile wallet that includes Lightning and is completely non-custodial, BitKit is the best, probably. It's hard to say. I really like Phoenix. Phoenix I still love, but BitKit just kind of has an extra layer that you have like a contact list and you can just randomly select people. Like, I can just tap my brother in BitKit and then send him some Bitcoin. And there's this whole kind of peer-to-peer thing happening in the background, which is just really cool the way they've set it up. And like I said, the UX and the flow of setting it up for somebody who's new, it's just really intuitive. So check them out. Links and details to both will be in the show notes. All right, with that, let's go ahead and get into this read. And I will be trying to cram in a guy's take, because I am a heat punk and I really like this piece. Short, sweet, but really hits the argument and the perspective really well, I think. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in to today's read. And it's titled A Heat Punk's Manifesto by Tyler Stevens. Energy consumption is essential for human prosperity. Energy consumption is not immoral. It reflects our ability to harness the inherent potential of the natural world to our benefit. No prosperous society exists without significant energy use, and nearly half of all energy consumption is dedicated to heating. If someone desires to use energy how they see fit, they should have the right to do so, provided it does not infringe on others' rights to life, liberty, and private property. No use of energy is perfectly efficient. Heat is always released. So who is to judge what is wasteful? The emergence of Bitcoin as a neutral and ethical monetary protocol introduces a new way to use energy via the mining proof-of-work mechanism. Miners consume electricity with the expectation of rewarded economic value. Heat is released as a side effect. The creation of this decentralized peer-to-peer electronic cash has incentivized a new industry of energy consumption and conversion to heat. Bitcoin mining secures the most robust monetary system known to man, while hunting cheap and wasted energy through its hashing algorithm. Rather than viewing mining solely as a rewards-based system that aims to return more economic value than the cost of energy consumed, it can instead be recognized as a new tool for electrically powered heating infrastructure, which economically subsidizes one of the largest sectors of global energy consumption. Bitcoin miner exhaust heat is a product, not a problem. Since energy and heat are required for human prosperity, we must ensure they are available in abundance. We must defend the ability to use energy however we desire. When I consume energy to mine Bitcoin, there is nothing to criticize. I could be purposefully supporting a decentralized protocol, monetizing resources, or offsetting necessary heating costs. A Bitcoin miner is not a bad use of energy. Moreover, a Bitcoin heating system rewards heat consumption, reduces wastes, and secures the neutral monetary network. The incentives are linked. Mining energy costs can be subsidized through heat monetization, and heating costs can be subsidized with mining rewards. For Bitcoin heating systems to exist, the Bitcoin network must exist and remain robust against threats. Physical decentralization of Bitcoin mining secures the network against centralized attacks, and global distribution of heating systems powered by Bitcoin helps further decentralize the network. The combination of economic, utilitarian, and ideological incentives of Bitcoin mining will drive hash rate distribution to the most diffuse locations, to the sources of energy production where cost is lowest, into millions of heating systems that can be subsidized by mining rewards, and into the hands of the most convicted, who will supply the network regardless of outcome. We cannot expect individuals, governments, corporations, or other faceless organizations to immediately embrace energy consumption for Bitcoin mining. Little do they know it is in their economic best interest to do so. They will learn. Heating applications of this new technology will allow individuals to protect their wealth, reduce waste, and create a more prosperous society for all. It is to their benefit to let us mine and consume energy at will. Heat punks deplore regulations on energy production and consumption. To attempt to hinder energy consumption used for mining is to fight against the laws of thermodynamics themselves. Energy is not just available to be used, it is meant to be. Bitcoin mining will hunt trapped and wasted energy. It will target heating applications that can benefit from its utility. It serves as a vehicle that transfers energy resources into heat and rewards the driver with economic value. In the race of entropy generation, Bitcoin mining leads the way. Mining only extends as far as its value is recognized. Heat pump systems add additional utility benefits to mining operations. Through aligned incentives, we, the heat punks, will infiltrate all nooks and crannies of the world, physically distributing hash power. Mining for heat as a desirable product adds a direct utility value to Bitcoin network security. It reduces sensitivity to pure economic incentives. It becomes difficult to vilify, more widespread, harder to stop, and will accelerate adoption. We, the heat punks, are dedicated to advancing systems that capture, repurpose, and reuse Bitcoin miner heat energy. We are reducing net costs and eliminating waste. We are setting the standard for conscientious energy consumption. We are the heating militia of the Bitcoin network, driven by the innate human need for warmth. We are fortifying Bitcoin's strength in this monetary revolution. Heat punks are builders, innovators, and Bitcoiners. We are aligning incentives and following the natural laws of thermodynamics. We believe hash rate heating is key to a hyper-decentralized Bitcoin network. Our systems and insights are available for all. heating demand will not be stopped, and as such, neither will we. We, the heat punks, seek your questions, concerns, and expertise as we navigate this emerging industry. We hope to engage with you and integrate with all viable heating applications in good faith. We will not, however, stop mining for heat or reduce our energy consumption because you disagree with our methodology. Let us continue in peace and prosperity. Keep building. So, I am a heat punk, and I have been heating the basement and all through last winter the entire house, actually, when our main furnace just gave out on us. And honestly, it was so easy. It wasn't so easy, but it was a lot easier and a lot less intimidating than I had suspected. Like, my setup is nothing complicated. I just have ducting tied to the end, just like strapped down with a pipe, big pipe strap. Then I have the other fan clamped down on the miner with just a simple shroud on it that I bought from Crypto Cloaks. And then I duct taped a filter to the other end. The thing literally looks like kind of like a little model jet engine or something, because it's got, you know, this big fan on it and then this big metal block. It does look like a torpedo or something like that. And I just carry the thing around. It's not that heavy. It just pick it up and walk it to somewhere and then sit it down, and I plunk the sucker into the wall and an Ethernet cable, and then it runs. And it, like, my basement has like a bunch of holes in it that I've just kind of like put stuff up to cover the holes. And it would be freezing to work down there. It would have been all winter, but basically halfway through the winter, I was like, well, why don't we I can totally heat it for them while they're working downstairs. And I just went down there, set it up, put the big filter on the back of it, and it just pumps out heat all day. And because of that, the upstairs, like, a lot of it just seeps through the floor. So it just kind of keeps the floor and most the house relatively comfortable by itself. And this is one miner. And because we don't have a laundry room right now, because, you know, despite the fact that I wanted to keep it comfortable for the construction workers and the contractor and stuff, they also were infuriating, horrifyingly slow and constantly gaslighting me that two days away, and 3 months go by. But I'm not going to dump that bitchy energy out into this podcast, because I have been angry about that, and I'm done with that, because I have let them go, and now I'm going to figure it out by myself. But because of that, even though we were supposed to get a laundry room back in September of last year, 4 months before our baby was going to be born, we still don't have a laundry room, and we don't have a second bathroom. So our torn apart second bathroom upstairs, we bought a $70 washing machine, which was like this travel, or like a RV washing machine or something. Oh my God, that reminds me. I gotta switch things over. But it's like this little thing. It just has a wash side and a spin side. It holds maybe like 3 pieces of clothing. And I've got it like semi-permanently set up in the extra bathroom. So we have this little laundry room that I have concocted just so that we could have a baby. And the drain goes down into the toilet drain hole. And then the input line is clamped down on the valve for where the sink is going to go, but the wall is just torn out and open. And then we have like a nice little like clothes rack thing that we just hang the stuff on. But we were thinking about it because it's really nice to put it in front of the fire, but the fire makes it really, really hot really, really quickly. And then it struck me that just to my left, I also have an S9 over here, one that I haven't actually gotten to use, that I could hook up in my quote-unquote laundry room and just kind of like mount up on the wall and aim it down at the clothes, and I can dry the clothes. My wife's parents were here at the time, and we were all just kind of doing stuff, and I was like, oh man, I could totally just set up the heater. And everybody was like, oh, that's such a cool idea, that would be awesome. And what's funny about it is that in thinking about like setting this up, which I haven't done yet, I just hadn't had any time. But in thinking about setting it up, it made me realize, I was like, you know, I could do this with a hairdryer or maybe a heater. But what's funny is that nothing would really blow enough air to do it. Like, I don't have anything that really perfectly fits the bill for that, except the miner, because it does push a lot of air. But then also the others just wouldn't make sense. But the idea, the fact that I'm getting Bitcoin from this, suddenly makes it economically interesting to actually go do that. So it's not just that the mining energy costs can be subsidized through heat monetization. And this is one of my favorite lines from this piece. But that heating costs can be subsidized with mining rewards. And I genuinely think there is something to this. It feels like there is another era of Bitcoin mining that could go this way, to the point that we could potentially see the marginal cost of energy that miners are willing to use, or I guess the marginal return on the use of energy for mining, could actually go negative and still make economic sense if we think of the heat as a product. A good example is that I made, if I tally, and I haven't really done the math on this, I would like to, and I would like to do it at last year's prices rather than this year's prices, because I don't think that would be a fair assessment. But to compare how much Bitcoin I got versus how much energy I purchased, because I wasn't really concerned with whether or not I was saving money or making money because I was making Bitcoin. So what I mean by that is that, let's say it would normally cost me exactly $200 in the coldest month to heat my home. And this time it cost me $500 because I was running two miners on high power. And I only made $200 worth of Bitcoin at that time. And so my net is $50 loss. I don't think that's how it played out. But let's say, in the worst case scenario, let's assume that's the case, I'm still going to use the miner. This is why I would consider myself a heat punk, because I'm not really worried about the economics of it. I simply get two useful things out of the miner, and it is worth the cost of that. And because obviously I have ideological reasons, I'm always going to be mining Bitcoin now. I just am. But I also have old, inefficient miners. And it's important to note as well the difference in cost, because when we were quoted, the reason I didn't replace the furnace immediately is because when we were quoted to replace it, it was $7,000. And this is not some huge unit or, you know, high end. Like I just got I'm just asking them what it was going to cost to replace a normal gas furnace that will heat, you know, 1,100 square feet. And that was what they quoted me. My Watts miner, back when I bought it, which is way less now, it's probably like $500 or $600, was only $1,200. If I was losing $50 per month in net energy loss because the miner cost me more, well, it would still take 9 years and 8 months for me to be net negative on the $7,000 or the $5,800 that I saved on not replacing the furnace. And like I said, now you can probably get my miner for $400 or $500. The Infinity fan that I use costs maybe $1,500, I think. You need one with really high volume. Then I got the little gadget from PlebTech, or Pivotal PlebTech. It's the cloud line, the Njord cloud line, I believe, that lets my miner itself control the Infinity fan. That was like $50. The Shroud from CryptoCloaks, which there's a bunch of different 3D printing places that you can get it from, but CryptoCloaks has the 10% off gift cards in Fold, or 10% back in sats. And I got the Shroud cover, or the Shroud with the one that connects to your PSU, your power supply unit as well. And that was $30. And I think that was it. Or well, no, I got a big rubber clamp between two six inch fan and then the 6-inch Shroud. Probably like $5. Couple of clamps, and that's pretty much it, I think. Duct tape. Roll of duct tape's like $20 these days. But literally the whole setup, probably today, the exact same one that I have could be done with $800. Like, that's a huge upfront cost savings, considering the setup that you're getting. It's also a more compact unit. So there is absolutely a really, really fascinating economic incentive structure going on here. And I genuinely think things could continue to go this way. Because as the market gets, as the industry itself becomes more and more mature, you'll need, there will continue to be this fight for cheaper and cheaper energy. And this is why I think literally all flared gas on Earth is going to be mining Bitcoin. And one of the biggest opportunities right now that you could find in anywhere in mining is in capturing that, because right now that is free energy. All you have is the industry or the infrastructure cost of getting mining there, running a generator and turning the thing on. And it is literally better in every possible way. There is no downside to that setup. If I wasn't focused on a bunch of other things with the show, with the media, and with a family that I need to be in one place at, that is what I would be doing right now. I actually think that on a long enough timeline, the data centers will get priced out of the market. They will only exist with huge energy production, with some giant energy source, with attached to a nuclear energy facility or a coal plant, any sort of energy production plant. That is where you will see those data centers, and that will be the only place where they can actually meaningfully manifest. I mean, in a way, that might already actually be the case, so I might not really be predicting anything in the future. But I like, just going back to this piece specifically, I love that he opens with the concept that there is nothing, not only is there nothing bad about energy use is the strongest and single most important corollary. It is axiomatically the source of what we mean when we say prosperity, which means that if we are fighting the consumption of energy, we are only and can only be attempting to force a lower quality of life. There is literally no world, none whatsoever, in which there is less energy consumption and a better life. Those things are axiomatically opposed. It's like saying you want something that's way more wet, but where there's less water. The demonization of energy consumption is an extremely dangerous ideology, and it is deeply anti-human. It is not bad to use energy. And just in the context, even if we set that aside, which I think that is the fundamental argument, and there is no real discussion about what the better use of energy is, because again, who is going to be the judge of that, like Tyler says? I can list off right now half of the internet that I think is wasted energy that you might not be very happy about. As soon as we start walking down the totalitarian line of having some group or some person decide which other person's use of energy that they rightfully earned and paid and trade for, you're headed to a really, really dark place. But that aside, Bitcoin mining cannot and will never compete with consumer level energy prices. It literally cannot, which means that fundamentally, it is not competing with your energy source. It cannot take energy away from anyone who is using it for some other purpose, because it necessarily needs a lower threshold of price. And that means it will hunt. I like that word. There is insanely strong incentives and pressures in this market to hunt, to dig, to scrape and find every ounce or every watt of energy, every jewel that is accidentally thrown away or that exists somewhere at low prices, specifically because consumers cannot use it or doesn't want it. That is the only energy where Bitcoin can actually be used profitably. Which also, it necessarily follows that the only thing it can do is bring down the average cost of energy, because it's a buyer when no one else is willing to buy, which is exactly what a low price indicates. That's what it's telling us. Nobody is willing to buy it. They have to lower the price in order to find someone who is willing to take up that much energy, or who is willing to cross the barriers or the distance or the transmission, the friction, whatever it is, in order to obtain, to get that energy to where they need it. And Bitcoin can literally just leap right across all of those barriers and grab it wherever the hell it exists. By understanding just the handful of major economic incentives and tools in play, there is no conclusion to be made other than the fact that Bitcoin mining can only lower the cost of energy and make energy use more efficient. This is before we are talking about the fact that it has a byproduct, which happens to be the number one thing we use energy for: heat. This is a really powerful combination. And I think we will see a lot more of it in the future. And I am a heat punk. A shout out to Tyler Stevens for this piece. Really awesome. I love this one. Short, sweet, to the point, and hits all the right things. I'll have links to the Twitters and the Nosts and the blog right down there in the show notes. And don't forget to check out the Blockstream Jade Plus hardware wallet, 10% off with code GUY. And of course, the BitKit mobile wallet for a simple on-chain and lightning wallet that just works and is super intuitive and easy for onboarding. And now I am going to go wake up Rad because his nap is over. Perfect timing. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan. Don't forget to share this out. Follow me on all the things. And until next time, everybody, take it easy, guys. I'm not in this world to live up to your expectations, and you're not in this world to live up to mine. Bruce Lee.